Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, July 28th. We're back with you right here on the air, and let me just adjust my equipment here since I only had half an hour to prepare. But this morning I'm joined by the beautiful Brenna. Welcome to the show, Brenna.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Of course, and she's ready to go. She's full of energy this morning because we're going to have an awesome show. We also have a great guest that we're going to get to in just a couple moments. But I wanted to find out a little bit about you, Brenna.
Okay.
So are you an LA native?
I am not. I'm originally from Colorado.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool. What was it like there growing up?
Cold, lots of snow. and I'm really short, so, you know, when you have to dig up snow that's as tall as you, man.
It's hard, huh?
Yeah, that's why
I came out. Wow, you see, some of the things I never have to think about, you know, not snow and not being too short, but I'm not tall, let me tell you. But at any rate, it's funny because yesterday we were talking about people around the world and the different heights and stuff, because in different parts of the world, you know, like we found that men, Dutchmen are the tallest.
Oh, really?
The average 6 feet tall.
Wow.
Yeah. And the tallest women were from Latvia.
Okay.
Believe it or not.
Well,
so
I should have been born there. Maybe,
yeah,
maybe,
right?
I would have been super tall.
You see, I don't know. I think tallness is overrated, but what do I know, right?
Have you heard the idea that depending on where the moon is and the gravitational pull, that there are times of the different years that people become taller and people are born shorter depending on the rotation
really?
Of the Earth? Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. It's all magnetic, you know. Maybe we get stretched or something
by
some universal powers, some
science.
Cosmic forces. You know?
I've also heard the idea that you grow until you're awesome. So obviously I got awesome faster than everybody else.
Than everybody else, right?
Fun-sized.
So that's cool. So so you grew up there. Do you have any siblings?
I have a younger brother who's way taller than me.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay, cool. Well,
yeah.
That's usually how it is. The younger generation, they get taller than we, you know?
I don't know where he got the genes.
Yeah.
Everybody's short, but my bro, man, he's just growing. Calls me his little sister, and I'm like, come on, big bro.
Yeah, right? Well, that's cool. So, and then what made you decide to move here?
Obviously, the sun.
The sun, right?
But
so you never get used to the cold, huh?
No.
You never do, right?
No, I'm tiny and I like it warm. I love the beach and, you know, entertainment's out here.
Right.
Always something going on. I love it. So.
Right.
Yeah.
What an entertainment attracts you the most here?
I am a singer and a acrobat. So I do shibari and suspension, and I have fun with my life.
Wow. Okay, so I need to understand what that is. What do you mean? I mean, what do you do exactly?
It's a lot like aerial silks for anybody that's seen, like, those really cool, beautiful people that do the silks. But I perform with rope. So I tie myself, and then I do really cool aerial tricks within the confines of what the rope allows me to do.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, but then, like, those in the circus, they don't tie themselves, do they? Or do they also with the silk and everything that
most
you're describing?
Most circus performers do the silks, but I've performed with various circus performers. I've trained doing the silks, but I fell in love with rope, so.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
Although it sounds kind of kinky, you know, I fell in love with rope and stuff. I work with ropes and chains and leather, folks.
Well, you know, it has that factor.
So, well, this is cool. So, how did you get into that?
I went to a nightclub and saw somebody doing it, and I was like, I want to know. So for a year of my life, I actually trained with Japanese artists who do it all the time. They came in from Japan, and I worked with a guy who does it professionally, and I gave a year of my life to learning something cool.
Wow. And now you're probably good at it. I mean, you do something for a year.
Yeah.
Right? You better be.
And I continue to do it. I'm proficient at it. I get booked doing it. So it's fun.
That's nice. So you're like a performer. I mean, you get booked to do that. Like, who books you to do it? Like private events and things?
Yeah,
like?
Different
really?
Events. Yeah.
How cool.
I love it.
So tell people where they can see more of you. I mean, that's really, it's fascinating.
Yes, they can see more on YouTube. They can look me up. Just Brenna Ray. It's super easy. It's everywhere.
Sounds good. How do you spell Brenna Ray?
Brenna, B-R-E-N-N-A, and then Ray, R-H-E-A, a ray of sunshine.
There you go, you see? Well, this is cool. So you moved here how long ago?
Oh, boy, 11 and a half years.
Really?
Yeah.
So you've been here for a while, so this is home for you.
Oh, yes, it definitely is.
Awesome. Well, we welcome you here. You know, we always welcome new people here.
Thank you.
We're the kings of diversity here in this town, and we only have 4 million people. We can absorb a few more million, right?
Oh, yes.
What the hell, everybody? Keep coming here, you know? We got plenty of time. We got plenty of freeway space for you. Just come on down.
Freeway space. Space. That's funny.
My God. If you ever want to see the asphalt on the freeway, drive at 2 o'clock in the morning. You'll see a little bit of that. Otherwise, all you see is a sea of cars.
And I think it's just crazy.
Yeah.
There's never any time that there's no traffic.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can have a little jam session in your car.
There you go. You know, you have to know how to take it in stride, man. You just turn on the music, get on the phone, whatever, don't text.
Listen to LA Talk Radio.
Yeah, there you go. You see? You see, Brenna's learning. She knows what it takes to get a job.
Well, you know.
Yeah. But no, I mean, flattery will definitely get you in the door, you know? It does a lot. But right before we get to our guest, I just wanted to mention that President Obama talked at the DNC last night. I didn't watch a minute of it for two reasons. One, I was very busy. Secondly, I don't really care what he has to say. He's done it for 8 years. That's enough for me. Let's move on and see what else we can find here in this nice pile of whatever.
So that means you're voting. Manure.
I'll be voting, yeah, in the election. I always vote.
Is it an inappropriate question to ask who you're voting for?
Look, let's say that I'm voting against Hillary Clinton. So it's just because I'm a conservative, you know. So I have to pretty much support the party, even though the candidate is a little cuckoo. And I don't know what's going to happen there, but definitely, I mean, the more I read about Hillary, the more I'm afraid of her. Probably at least as much as the liberals are afraid of Trump, you know. So, yeah. So anyway, but that's the story there. That's the extent of politics today, folks. But we congratulate Hillary for being joined by Obama. And that's a big deal, you know. It's a big deal. She's a woman, and she's the first one to support a major party or to be nominated for a major party.
Yeah.
So that would be cool. I just hope that people don't vote for her just because she's a woman, you know. Mm-hmm. Vote for her based on her thing.
Take everything into consideration.
Exactly. Yeah. So, okay, well, we're going to get to our guest now who's sitting here patiently, and she seems to agree with everything we say, which is cool. Well, maybe not the politics, but the traffic. We have Angel Sinclair, right?
Yeah, Angel.
Angel. So we just call you Angel?
You can call me whatever you like.
Okay, wow. Ooh, man, listen to that. Obviously, British lady.
Yes,
wow.
I am.
So welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
You flew all the way out here just to be with us this morning.
Absolutely.
You see, I'm telling you, she's totally seductive. I'm telling you.
Is it your first time in California?
No, I was here before. I came in March, came on business for my campaign. And loved it. I've gone straight back to the same hotel.
Good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're staying in a nice one. You don't
same
have to tell
one.
Us where, but really.
Yeah,
so that's
same
cool.
One.
Now,
love LA. Absolutely.
You must love it, right? I mean,
absolutely.
The weather and everything.
The weather,
right?
The people.
The people.
The shopping.
That's a big one.
All of everything. It.
The cars, the beautiful people, right?
Oh,
everybody
here
is beautiful.
Everybody's
right?
beautiful. Everybody. And the Queen Mary, of course.
Oh, I love that place.
We got to fight the British flag for that.
We can't forget that. Listen, I mean, Britain is the closest friend this country has ever had.
Yeah.
And, you know, it always will be like that, you know. Yeah. So that's awesome. So do you travel back and forth quite a bit?
This is my second time in America. Come back from New York. I was there for 3 days. And once again, it's business to do with the campaign, just finding out more about diversity, looking at the modeling agencies. I mean, you guys are so much ahead of us when it comes to the modeling industry, when it not so much in fashion and designers, but in terms of diversity. You have way more black models that are working, way more plus models. You're more accepting of models with disabilities. Wow. I mean, I've come here purposely to learn from you guys so that I can go back to the British Fashion Council and tell them how it works here.
And how
they are so behind over there, and I'm trying my best to make a difference and have things more equal in the UK.
That's awesome. And we'll get to that quite a bit deeply in detail and everything. But so you're a model yourself?
I'm a former model.
Former model.
Yeah.
And how long were you doing that for?
Not very long. I would say for about 3 years.
Oh,
I got into modeling quite late. I started modeling when I was about 40. I was overweight and I got discovered in a gym.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, I wouldn't think you're 40. I mean, not even close.
No, I'm not 40 now. I'm 54. And
doesn't
I'm proud. And 4 children.
You
and
are
6 grandchildren.
If you guys were here, I mean, she's just gorgeous.
She's like ageless.
Yes. She drank from the fountain of youth.
I'm telling you, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
I wish.
Life is treating you very well. So that's good. And I would imagine that's because you have taken a good positive approach to life as well.
I would say I've had, you know, what it is that I've always, after I lost the weight, I was a very, very heavy girl all through my life. I was wearing the highest I got up to was a size 18. I don't know what that is over here. And then once I lost the weight, I got into, that was in the 80s, I got into fitness and I started to learn how to look after myself properly. And it's just stuck with me ever since.
So it's a learning process, you say?
Yeah. Learning process.
Wow.
100%.
Wow. I got to tell you, you look so much younger that it's amazing to me. I mean, how do you maintain that? Do you like work out, eat well?
I work out. Uh-huh. I eat well. But I do have one day a week, which normally happens on a Sunday, where I pig out. I eat whatever I want. I watch movies, I have the popcorn, I have the chocolate, I order Chinese, but I just do it I do it in moderation. I have one day where I do it.
You treat yourself.
I treat myself.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, I go to the gym, I go 4 times a week, I work out, and then, you know, I eat what I like, but it's all about portion sizes and making sure that I drink plenty, I eat plenty of fruit, vegetables, I still have carbs, lots of water, Red Bull to keep me going, which is a slight addiction in itself for me.
Really? It actually works for you? It gives you energy?
Oh, God, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, wow. 100%.
Yeah. I agree with this.
Really?
100%.
Yeah,
I know this addiction.
Do you know this addiction?
I do.
So it picks you up, right? Like coffee does.
Oh, yeah. Nice. I have to have 2 in the morning to get me going, and then I'm fine.
Well, whatever it takes,
it takes.
Yeah, exactly.
With your regime that you do and keeping healthy and looking good, I'm sure that you get to pass it along to the people that you work with and give
absolutely
them tips.
Yes, I do. I encourage any model. What my thing is, for my height and my weight, I am I would be considered plus size.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm a size 12 and I'm athletic built. Mm. This was a big problem for me when I was modeling, because I wouldn't have been able to have done runway because I'm 5'7". I'm not skinny built. I'm athletic built.
You look fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if I was to go to an agency now, they would, in the UK, they would automatically put me as a plus size. I've got my assistant here, Lauren, who is at a healthy weight. She's size 12 as well. She would be considered plus size.
So that's unfortunate, though. I mean, she's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
But the thing about it is, what kind of message is the fashion industry in the UK giving to girls that are young teenage girls? You know the score. Yeah. You know, you don't come into your own till you're in your late teens. So what you're saying is that if you're a size 10 to 12, you're fat. I mean, you're plus size. Why have labels on it? Why don't we just say we're healthy?
Right.
That's my...
Yeah,
that's you want it. And that
healthy and beautiful, and like, that makes me want to know, what is the like standard in the UK for what they consider normal?
For a normal standard model, you have to be between a 4 and a 6.
Wow.
And B, listen to the height.
Yeah.
Between 5'9", 6 to about 6 foot. You are under your average weight at that size.
Yeah, you have to be,
right? And the BMI is extremely low.
Very.
However, things are improving. It's not as bad as it was in 2008. You have to also remember heroin chic. Do you remember when heroin chic was around?
Like the very, very skinny.
When they were very, very skinny in late 90s. Mm-hmm. It was when Kate Moss, Jodie.
Right.
There was another model that was out during that time.
They just looked like bones.
They were like bones. Yeah. And they called it that heroin chic look.
Right.
I mean, that was really dangerous.
It was very... People were getting super sick. Like, they would pass out and stuff. Like, on the runway.
Yeah.
Like
on the runway.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
I do.
Right. And it was so bad that models were under immense pressure to keep that look, because they had to get booked by the designers, and I mean, all sorts of things were going on behind the scenes. They were on laxatives. Models were stuffing cotton wool, eating cotton wool.
Disorders all over the place.
There was a lot of really unusual things that was going on for these models.
Because it's not natural. It's not normal not to eat, right?
No.
I mean, it's like, it's funny that we brought it up. Not so funny, but ironic. Because just a couple of days ago, I met this woman. Very nice.
Yeah.
But she was bones. She was actually bones.
Yeah.
And she's a model.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, and, you know, the skin wasn't great.
Yeah.
You know, it's bad skin because they don't eat.
Yeah.
They don't get the nutrients and stuff. And I thought, that can't possibly be attractive, you know, to photographers, to designers, like you said. But it seems like, what you're describing, if it's someone that's tall and very thin, then you're looking just for someone who's like a tree, you know what I mean?
What they're looking for is a coat hanger.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay? And what it is, they think to have that look hangs their clothes well.
Oh.
And it shows off.
That's true. So they're like the mannequins design. Almost.
Absolutely. Right? But the downside to this is that these models are not, quite a few of them are not happy. They end up having mental health. They end up having body dysmorphia. They end up feeling depressed. And you do hear around the world models committing suicide,
which is something that I read up about. That you did a show, and you brought out pamphlets that talked about like how many suicides and how eating disorders.
I mean, in 2008, when I first started, I did one Big demonstration outside London Fashion Week. And when that wasn't successful,
it was controversial.
In the UK. I then did it again, but this time I went out with gravestones, placards with all the names of the dead models that have died from suicide, cosmetic surgery. A lot of them are on cocaine, heroin, and I put it down, and that made press. And then, of course, the British Fashion said, you know what? We better get her in and shut her up.
Right?
And the deal was, okay, we will work with you. We will work on making changes, but you've got to promise us you ain't going to pull a stunt like that again.
Don't share the secrets and the dirty truth.
Don't do that.
They didn't know who they were messing with.
No, I'm always like that. I will not stop until things start changing. And I have to say, the runway in the UK has improved, but things could be a bit better. Mm. You still don't see... at London Fashion Week, the main big shows, you still don't see a curvy model on the runway.
Right. You still
don't see a plus-size, a disabled model on the runway. But, of course, in the UK, you've got the beautiful Ashley Graham.
Yes. So she's a British girl?
No, she's one of you guys.
Exactly. So why did you say in the UK?
In the US.
Okay.
What I'm saying is we need that in the UK because we've got some beautiful, beautiful plus size models in the UK.
Right. But you know, I'm amazed you say that. I'm sorry to interrupt you because I think that we only recently started with that. I mean, we still have... I think we have still major problems with the same things you're describing, maybe not to that extent based on what you're telling us now. But I think many people, you just go on social networks, you still see all that body shaming and you know, it's like everybody competing for attention and all the girls, like totally, not all the girls, but many of them just take selfies and pictures of them in bikinis and boobs and everything. And just like, this is what they want to go after, you know, and there's not much substance to that, I think.
I think the question that would be posed really interesting is if the designers are the ones that are looking for a coat hanger, does that mean that the designers are the one that we need to get to be like, what about even making plus size clothing for runways? Because they don't even make clothing for that.
Here's the thing. What my message to the designers would be, supply clothes on the runway that represent your consumers.
Exactly.
That's the point.
Right.
Because like even buying those clothing, I mean they're not made for anybody but
nobody's got bodies like that.
Right. Yeah. Right. And one of the saddest things is that they forget it's all about show. It's all about the name. It's very theatrical if you think about it. I mean, they put on these big extravagant shows and, you know, really what they're not really thinking about the consumer, are they? Because what happens is it's about how theatrical the show was or how shocking the skinny the models look. Bad press is still good press.
Yes.
It's very true.
Bottom line.
Yeah.
And that's
true.
That's how I feel that really the designers and the brands must start thinking about the consumers because it is us that buy their clothes and they should start thinking about our body shapes.
Right. And that's the thing. I mean, and that doesn't make sense to me because, you know, I mean, having been around women, you always see the, you know, throughout your life and stuff, you're exposed to Victoria's Secret catalogs and stuff. And you see all these like really thin young girls and you go, well, how many, I mean, look, I know there's many girls like that, but Many women I've seen do not look like that, and yet they still look at those catalogs and everything. I'm wondering what they must be thinking, you know?
Well, we're penetrating their mind with the idea, since they're young, that they have to look a certain way to be considered beautiful for men to want them for all of this. So we're starting them at a young age with already the idea in their head, and that's sad.
Absolutely. And why do you think now that you are getting, I mean, it's quite... big in the UK, where teenagers, it's called sexing, where teenagers are now taking pictures of themselves in their underwear and showing their boobs.
Right, and sending to each other.
Sending to guys, because that's what the guys want to see.
Right.
And these young boys, I mean, you don't have to do that to sell yourself. Go with your personality.
Right.
Go with your heart. You don't need anybody to ask you to do that. I'm not saying... I'm talking about teenagers, because the bad downside of it is that when the guy dumps you, it's all on those pictures are put on social media. And there's a lot of talk about that in the UK, where we're saying, you know, you don't have to sell yourself that way.
Right, right. And it's cool you're having that conversation, because we only had it about 10, 15 years ago here. But
I mean, are you serious?
Yeah, I mean, the problem has been here for a long time.
Well, like, it's even like celebrities taking pictures of themselves and sending them to like their boyfriend or whatever, and then ending up on social media. And so then I think that's where the campaign of hashtag free the nipple and there's been a whole campaign around it to... like bring awareness that it's okay to be sexy and it's okay to do that, but that's your choice, and it versus sending something to somebody and having them post it.
Right.
Like, I think that's where that campaign started, but it's been a major problem.
Right. Well, it is a major problem in the UK for a major problem for teenagers.
Right.
We're talking about the 13, 14 year olds. That's what we're talking about.
Oh my goodness.
That have been doing it. And some of them do it because they've got low self-esteem.
They need to be validated in a positive way.
That's a societal thing, though. We need to feel good, so we do it for other people because they make us feel like we're worth something. But
exactly. And when you have people like that, Kim Kardashian, that is doing that sort of thing, and she's got a huge following in the UK, and a lot of them are teens, and they want to be Kim, so they start doing it.
Wow.
I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with what she does. She's her own person, but you have to think, when you're a woman like that of power and you have a young following, you know, you got to think carefully about what you do. And that's the message that's been given out in the UK, because it is a problem. And children are being bullied for it.
So we need role models like who bring about an awareness of...
There's different ways to love yourself, I think. And it's about... You know, it's about doing things. It's about self-love, isn't it? It's about talking about... If you feel bad, find somebody that you could talk to. There's a lot of things that in the UK that we're slowly improving in terms of for the teenagers. But it was a big problem in the UK. It was, where young girls were being bullied because their ex-boyfriend or... got hold of the picture, and then the picture was sent round in a circle on WhatsApp, posted on Facebook. So you're saying this was a problem 15 years ago. Yeah. Well, it's starting now for us.
Wow. So, I see. My thing is, I didn't realize it hadn't started already in the UK when it did here. So everybody's learning really what's going on in America, and they do the same thing pretty much, you know.
Yeah.
But that's a very sad commentary. And it's something that, I mean, at least here, we've been talking about it for a long time, I think, but I don't see the problems being solved, you know?
No.
And you mentioned, what's her name? Ashley Graham? Is that her name?
Now, Ashley Graham is a positive role model.
Absolutely.
I feel that her message is strong, her blogs are strong, and what she does is great. And and the thing that I love about Ashley posts up pictures of herself, but they have not been airbrushed. You see all the lumps, the bumps, the stretch marks, but still you see a beautiful woman
you
in
really
front
do,
of you.
You know,
and
that's the thing. Yeah.
I absolutely love her for who she is, and I'm really proud of her success. I heard that she's now going to be one of the judges of American Next Top Model.
Oh, really?
I've heard that.
That would be cool.
So have somebody, a plus, you know, I don't like using the word plus. I like referring to it as curvy.
Yeah. Or healthy.
And healthy.
Really?
I mean, if you think about it, Marilyn Monroe was a size 60.
Oh,
how
yes.
beautiful was she?
Are you serious? She was size 16?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Wow.
She
was definitely very curvy. Her, she was 34 up at the top. And then I think on the bottom she was also 34.
She was really super hot. From America.
It's very interesting because if you watch the progression over time, we started out like people loved having the body, and then it's over time we've just gotten skinnier and skinnier.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that you're bringing the resurgence of what it means to be real and what it means to be beautiful.
Yeah.
And you're not just incorporating people that of different sizes. You're incorporating people of color and disabilities, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, I mean. One of the things that I want to say that was important to me. I mean, I've had 4 children, and I've got stretch marks all over my stomach, but I learned to love the fact that I've got these stretch marks. When I was modeling, you know, it was a bit back in 2008, 2007, you know, it was a bit of a thing that I felt a bit uncomfortable about having it, because when I would go to photo shoots, you know, I'd be like, well, you know, they would want me to do a bikini shot or a lingerie shot, and I take my, you know, get into the lingerie or the swimwear, and, you know, there's this mark on my tummy. But by doing the Gok One show, Miss Naked Beauty, it was all about loving, embracing what you've got, and celebrating the fact that I have 4 healthy babies. And this is my mark. And so now, if I'm in a bikini, I don't care who sees it, because I'm not going to compete with a 21-year-old that's got a perfect, you know,
right,
a nice body.
It's
I'm not going to. It's part of my life.
Yeah,
hey.
It's like you're different. Different market, you
sure.
know, different audience,
yeah.
different, yeah, totally. I mean, you know, it's the thing is, what did I hear, Miss Naked Beauty now? I mean, what's that about?
Right, okay.
What happened there?
Mr. Gok.
Miss, I was on a program with Gok One, and it was more about, I was the oldest contestant on the show. There was 7,000 people that applied, mm-hmm. and I got down to the last 200, then I got down to the last 12. And the show was about, mainly about the fashion industry, finding a body that was beautiful. It didn't matter. And there was 12 women on the show, and we were all different shapes and sizes, and you know, it was what I got from that show was about self-acceptance.
Yeah.
And we had to it was a very competitive show, and I but I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I remember saying to Gok, after we finished filming, I turned around and said to him, do you know what, Gok? I think I'm going to retire from modeling. And he said, why? I said, do you know what? Being on this program, I want to use the experience that I've learned from here, and I want to go out and do something different in the fashion industry. Yeah. And he said, you know, why don't you then? And as soon as the show finished, a few months later, that's where Models of Diversity was born.
Very awesome. So now let's talk a little bit about Models of Diversity and exactly what it is that that got you to start it. What it is really? What does it do? I mean, what did you have in mind when you founded this?
The reason why I founded it was purely because working on the show with Gok, Miss Naked Beauty, I was around models that were of different shapes and sizes.
Right.
Before, I really hadn't seen it. I always felt that when I was modeling before for photographers that I was big and, you know, like I mentioned, a stretch mark.
Right.
But doing that show, and it was what I got from it about self-acceptance, I started to look at the fashion industry a lot more closely. Mm-hmm. And I did a lot of research. And what I noticed was there wasn't hardly any black models on the runways. And if you did see them, there was maybe one. And what else I noticed, that the models were very unhealthy. I mean, there was a campaign that had already started that was called Say No to Size Zero. So I decided from that point that I wanted to make a difference. I wanted to, I've always been a very outspoken person. Before doing Models of Diversity, I worked as a counsellor with domestic violence victims, and I campaigned a lot with Refuge for that. So, like I said, I wanted to make a difference, so I formed Models of Diversity.
So let's break that down. How does Models of Diversity work?
What we're saying is that the fashion industry needs to be more diverse. What we're saying is that we need to see a diversity of models on the runway. Don't just stick with Caucasian models that are 6'2" that looks like...
Don't stick with sticks.
Don't stick
right?
with...
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't stick with sticks.
I mean, because that's what they look like, you know? Yeah. Really.
And in this world, there's people of all different colors, all different races, all different sizes. Why don't we show that? I mean, back then, we didn't have... in the UK, we didn't have plus-size fashion week. We did our first plus-size fashion show, and it was called Curves in Couture. I flew over from the US to Cora Jones. I flew over Robin Lawley, who wasn't a really big name back then, to come and take part in the show. And it was a huge success.
Really?
So then from there, another organization started Plus Size Fashion Week, and now we have a number of plus size fashion shows, which started from the fact that we started that show.
Right.
So
right.
That opened up many doors. Now in the UK, we have agencies that are taking plus size models.
That's
back
great.
Then, you didn't see them.
Right.
You hadn't seen them. But it was going on in the US. So through doing research, I tried to work with Caroline Rush, and she's a superwoman, you know. I don't want to bash her because she's just doing her job. But
she's
the CEO of the British Fashion Council.
Okay.
So we've been working together now since 2008. Mm. And, I mean, she made a statement last year recently saying that about models with disabilities, and saying that they should be, you know, now they're thinking about looking at that, about having them, for them to be seen, because I was one of the first ones in the UK to put a disabled model on a runway before.
Wow.
They weren't discovered. Nobody knew about them. So for me, it was important that disabled people are represented. You've got to think about this. They do wear clothes, don't they?
Yes. There's a documentary on YouTube that you did that talks about this.
Fashion and disability, yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's amazing. You
yeah.
know, I mean, because I would think most people would wonder, you know, like how can something like this happen, you know, in an industry where it's all like human sticks. And then you go, yeah, but you know, I mean, most people are normal people, you know.
Exactly.
And that's the thing. So I mean, if there's an audience in a market for disabled, why not?
Yeah, and also get in touch with us. We are always looking for new talent.
How do people get in touch?
www.modelsofdiversity.org.
Okay, did you guys hear that? www.modelsofdiversity.org.
There you go. And you can see I mean, you have a lot of content on the website. You got articles and events and galleries of just beautiful women, you know, in many sizes. And you realize that here, I mean, I've seen there's nothing wrong with a beautiful model that sits on a wheelchair. You
exactly.
know? Yeah.
They're and people.
And they're people. And one of the things that we in the UK that needs to improve is about, we call them classic models. I think you might call them mature models over here.
Yes.
Right. I did a runway show in 2012 with where I featured it. The whole show was over 40s.
Oh, I love it.
And I tell you something, you know, the women rocked that runway. The oldest model on that runway was in her 80s.
That's amazing. Wow.
And she looked good. And she's gone on now, and she's doing TV. She's doing film work, and she's still modeling.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing, yeah.
We need to see diversity. That's my thing.
And that's the thing. I think what you're essentially doing is including more people in this whole thing of modeling and beauty and things like this, you know. It's not just for celebrities, and that's what people don't understand.
I like the fact that what you're doing is going to start building an audience, because what you're doing is showing people, teenagers, that it's okay not to be a size zero. You're showing people that have disabilities that it's okay and you're still beautiful and you should accept who you are. And so with models of diversity, you're building a platform to build the audience of the next generation that's going to work towards the idea of everybody is beautiful.
Absolutely. And we have to remember one thing that it's very important that I say that in America, I'm learning from you. I'm learning your ways. I'm learning from your super agencies, especially IMG, who are embracing diversity. They have a diverse range of models. You know, there's so many agencies I can mention, but in the US, and so I'm here to learn from you guys so that I can bring it back to the UK so that they can understand if it works for you here, it can work for us over there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You came to the right place, because this is where innovation happens big time. You know?
I know.
And, you know, and that's the thing is that, you know, and actually, I mean, politically, there's a lot of things going on with diversity and everything.
Yeah.
People from different countries, different backgrounds, and different this. And the thing is that I think if you just look at it from a human perspective, you know, you realize that, you know, I mean, it's about, I don't know. You know, it's always about beauty, but it is, like you said, in the eyes of the beholder, you know. The standards of beauty have changed.
Yes.
And but the thing is, if we look back at the history of people, more often than not, people did not go for skinny girls. Mm-hmm. You know what
I'm
saying? It's only a recent thing.
Yeah, and back in the day, healthy and I think it was, I don't know my time era, but it used to be that if you were curvy, that meant you could carry, that you were a healthy individual.
Like
that
fertile.
A man would want. And so, I mean, why would, super skinny and you're unhealthy, that's not
I would
beautiful.
Like to ask you a question.
Absolutely.
Because of, you know, I'm totally against height restrictions. I think models should be, a model should be signed based on her ability to be a model, not, and don't discriminate against models that are 5'5". What I'd like to say to you, how do you feel being a petite girl, petite woman going into the shops, how difficult is it for you to get clothing?
Well, that's why I shop in the kids section, everybody. I'm 4'11". Obviously, I'm in the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
I've gone into, here's a fun fact. I had an eating disorder.
I
was the same height that I was now, 75 pounds, skin and bones.
Wow.
I had to come come out of that because I realized that I wasn't happy. But modeling in general, like, I mean, I see casting notices all the time where they're looking for people that are my weight and 5'9". And I'm like, I'm looking at that and I feel like, oh, wow, well, I'm really not what they're looking for.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because I think if you go to like major fashion companies, like we could do Moschino, we could do Gucci, we could do any of these. And I would want to know if you walk in there, would they have clothing that is over a size 4? Would they have clothing for people that fit under a certain height? Or are we just still making sizes for certain people? And if so, why are we doing that?
Exactly. And we have the same problem in the UK. And some department stores do petite clothing, but there is always room for improvement. In terms of the models now, it's very difficult for a petite model get work. Oh, but there is an industry for them. Shall I tell you what it's called?
Please.
Glamour, get your tits out.
Oh, yes. That is a big thing. I definitely, like, there are many people that aren't exactly the right height or anything that want to be a model. And
right.
The things that they're offered most of the time are nude modeling.
Absolutely.
Or implied nude modeling.
Absolutely.
And although I see how it can be beneficial for people that want to get comfortable in their body, it's sad that is all that they really offer because, I mean, we're like everybody else. We're just fun sized.
But you have got a couple agencies that I met in New York that have got petite models.
That's good to hear.
That are now one agency actually showed me a beautiful girl that was 5'5", and she's, you know, modeling on the doing a lot of work.
That's
and
wonderful.
Stuff. So that's really good. But in the UK, it's still really difficult. So what we're trying to do is to, you know, we're trying to educate the agencies. We're trying to educate. It's no point bashing them because they're going to close their minds to it. What we try to do is to bring them new talent, get them to see the girl, get them to show the pictures, get them to take a risk and see if it works.
Right. Amazing, amazing. Yeah. Well, in the last few minutes, Angel, let's tell people where they can find you, where they can find more information on everything you do, how they can help.
Okay. Well, they can find us. We are on social media. We're on Facebook and we're on Instagram and we are on Twitter. And also people can contact us through the website. We're open to anybody. All emails are answered. I've got a super team that work for MOD and we are here to help. We never turn anybody away. If we don't actually have the answers, we go out and find the answers.
She is literally an angel of change.
Yeah.
And, there you go.
And, you know, just come and give us support. Say hello to us on Twitter. Let us know what... Let me know what you thought about some of the things I'm saying. Let's get a conversation going. But thank you so much for having me. And it's been a real pleasure.
Of course. Go ahead, Ben.
I was just going to say, I really appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you.
Like, I'm delved into the entertainment industry. And what you're doing is absolutely wonderful. And I hope that you can continue to do that and influence teenagers. And really keep going with what you're doing. It's amazing.
Yeah, and I think that it's really the important message. It does start with the young. Is that accept who you are. No matter, you know, if you compare yourself to somebody else, you're always going to be the loser. So it's about accepting the person that you are, accept your size. Nobody was born ugly. We were all born beautiful. Yeah. And that's my message.
Amen. And on that note...
And even you.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
That might be stretching it just a bit.
No. He's got that killer smile.
Thank you. Thank you.
I hope your wife is not listening.
I don't have a wife right now.
Okay,
I'm
well.
Open.
We'll exchange numbers then.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm open. Listen, if any of the models are looking for a guide here in LA, of the models of diversity, I'm right here. No, I really, I got to tell you, I enjoy the natural look because it also goes with the right attitude as well, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you see women here in LA having boob jobs and plastic surgery and sculpting their body and everything. And I don't know, to me, it's just not that attractive. And what many men say is the same thing. You know, I want someone who's natural, you know, someone who's like, give me a real person, you know. And it's just not because, I mean, God, you know, even like fake boobs, you know, you touch them and they're not... they're not real.
All right, so you like to feel
everything, yes,
the lumps like and the bumps. You like that?
Absolutely.
Well, that's really nice to hear.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wish more men thought like you.
Well, maybe they will after listening to the show and finding out that there's really a lot more. I mean, it's just in how you view things. You know, I mean, it's like you put on a certain. Certain color glasses on in life, and I've realized, I mean, that my sort of like my standards have become distorted, you know. I mean, it's like you keep looking for that thinner look because that's what you train to do.
That's all and that social media is saturated with.
It really is, you know. And I'm asking myself, why am I even following all these women and stuff that are like, just like, I mean, and there's guys that take the time and they're like, oh, you're beautiful, you're this, you're this. It's like, what's the point in all this, you know? I mean, yeah, people want to become stars in their own lives.
Absolutely.
I think, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think that the best thing that everybody should remember is that everything that you see that's put out by social media has been fixed in some way. That it's not that it's photoshopped, it's airbrushed.
Thank you.
That anybody that looks at anything should keep that in mind because those people go in and they don't necessarily look like that.
Absolutely.
You know, and so embracing what you have, and you know, I think at the end of the day it's just being happy with yourself and whatever that means to you, because everybody's going to have a different idea of happiness.
Absolutely.
So just finding that happy and understanding that it's okay to be diverse and different.
Thank you. And I think that I think that this subject here today, I hope somebody, even if it touches one person, we've done our job today.
Yes.
And that's what's important.
I love Definitely. You. You're awesome.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
And you lit up the room, you know, and you're beautiful, and your assistant is amazing.
Thank
you. You're both incredibly beautiful. And I want to thank you for coming here.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Have a good day, everyone.
Yes, absolutely. We'll have a good day. Today's not Friday. It's only Thursday, right?
Thursday.
I was going to say have a nice weekend and all that. But just for a moment, Brenna, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having
You're
me.
You're amazing.
Absolutely.
The height doesn't really matter, you know?
I've got a face and body for radio. It works.
Not at all, folks. She's very beautiful and very cute. And thank you so much for contributing to the show. I appreciate it. That's Brenna. Where can people find you if they want to?
Just look up my name, Brenna Rhea. BrennaRhea.
There you go. Now you know how to find everybody. And thank you all for listening. Thanks again for everybody in the room. And we'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.